I'm reading these scriptures, not guaranteeing that I will go into a lot of detail about them, it may be, but I want you to see from these scriptures how things in the Old Testament are pictured in the people of God in the New Testament. How that the Old Testament has a twofold significance. So in Philippians chapter 2, we'll read again the portion that we read last week, and I will give you a more exact translation of the word. So in verse 16, Philippians 2:16, Paul is exhorting the saints at Philippi, hold forth. They are to be holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain. So think, here is one who started this church at Philippi, and yet, when he stands before our Savior, he wants to have encouragement, and he wants to have joy, so that he can look back over his life and the lives of those Christians, so that he can glory in the success of Christ in them, and that he might not have to think sadly that he had run in vain or labored in vain. Think of all the time that God's servants spend among the people of God, and yet, if they fail, if they go back, then at the judgment seat of Christ, there will be disappointment, and the servant of God will think of all the time that he spent with these saints, labor in vain. Now, verse 17, he says, yea, and if I am offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, and that if I am offered is, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I join and rejoice with you all. And in the same manner, do ye also joy and rejoice with me. So notice, I told you last week, and I could go over everything again, and you still wouldn't have it. But now I'm telling you that in the Old Testament, there is the drink offering. And let's just see if a brother knows, where is that drink offering found in the Old Testament? Just as I told you. Exodus 29, there are so many occurrences of the drink offering. And the drink offering is always associated with what other two offerings? I'm going to preach the same sermon again. With the burnt offering and the meal offering, and then there was the drink offering. But, notice, Paul said, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, the drink offering was that which completed the threefold offering of the burnt offering and the meal offering. The third part was the drink offering. And that's what Paul is talking about. If I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. And in the same manner, do ye also joy and rejoice with me. And in 2 Timothy 4, you'll find out that God wasn't ready for him to be poured out as a drink offering. To abide in the flesh was more needful for the Philippians, and because of that, he did abide in the flesh. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, it says this, giving an exhortation to Timothy in verse 5, but be thou sober in all things, suffer hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill thy ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is come. It's no longer whether I shall abide in the flesh. He knows that the time has come. And he says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith, and what lies before him? A reward. the crown of righteousness. All right. These are two portions that speak of Paul being poured out as a drink offering. The first thought is this, that the drink offering has a spiritual significance. And the drink offering, first of all, is to be associated with Christ. But having been associated with Christ, we see that it's also associated with Christ's people. One other scripture that I want you to see in Romans 15, whether or not I'll have time to tell you anything about it, I just want you to see these figures that are taken from the Old Testament and given us in the New Testament. Romans chapter 15, look at verse 15. But I write the more boldly unto you in some measure, as putting you again in remembrance, because of the grace that was given me of God, that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now notice, in Philippians chapter 2, it speaks about the sacrifice of the faith and service of the Philippians, and Paul being the drink offering poured upon the sacrifice and service of their faith. In Romans 15, again, we have Paul not as the drink offering, but as the offerer. In verse 16, that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, can any brother think of a scripture in the Old Testament where people were offered up to God as a sacrifice? You remember the burnt offering and the meal offering and the peace offering. Can you think of any place where people are offered up? People, not a person. That's one that God said, give me your son. And so I'll say, not in the book of Genesis, but in from Exodus to Numbers. Can you remember there? Well, for the sake of time, turn to Numbers 8. Numbers 8. A remarkable passage. You'll find in Leviticus 8 the consecration of Aaron and his sons. In Numbers 8 you find the setting apart of the Levites. So in Numbers 8 verse 6, take the Levites from among the children of Israel and cleanse them. And thus shalt thou do unto them to cleanse them. That isn't important now. But as a sacrifice, they have to be cleansed, first of all. Verse 10. And thou shalt present the Levite before the Lord. And the children of Israel shall lay their hands upon the Levite. And Aaron shall offer the Levite before the Lord for a wave offering on the behalf of the children of Israel, that it may be theirs to do the service of the Lord. And the Levites shall lay their hands upon the heads of the bullocks, and so forth, and so on. And, verse 13, and thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron, and before his sons, and offer them for a wave offering unto the Lord. You see? Here in the Old Testament, there is the offering not only of the animal, but also of the people associated with preparing the animal. Here are people that are offered to God, and they're called a wave offering. Now, if you are familiar with the offerings, you'll see about the wave offering, particularly in the peace offering. You have the wave breast and the heave thigh. The heave means to lift up. And so two parts of the animal of the peace offering had a certain ritual associated with it, and one of them was waved before the Lord. Now let me ask you, what do you think the word to wave? Suppose you have the wave breast upon your hand. How would you wave it before the Lord? Why would you say that? How do you wave? Do you wave to somebody this way? How do you wave to somebody? Yes, that's right. But you have hit upon it, but you must have read it, because why would anybody giving something to God do it this way? And some say it may mean that. But some of the rabbins say that it was waved north, south, east, and west. But in looking up all the occurrences of this word wave, that has many activities, it means to quiver. And if it speaks about a saw, it says a man, and it's the same word, he waves a saw. You can't be wrong there. I don't know of any saw that you do this way, but a saw you go back and forth. And so, if it is as the saw, fine. If it's this way, that's fine. But here is the breast of the peace offering, and it is waved before the Lord. But what is so important is this about that wave offering. That once it is waved before the Lord, it's His. What happens to it next? It's given to the priest, and they eat it. Isn't that remarkable? It's given to God, but if that is so, remember, if I bring the animal and Aaron gets the animal, you say, he got that animal from me. No, he didn't. I came and gave that animal to God. And Aaron takes that part of the animal and gives it to God, and then God, in His goodness and in His generosity, gives it back to Aaron. Now, in like manner, here's what I want you to see. Look in chapter 8 again of Numbers. Numbers chapter 8. It says, verse 11, and Aaron shall offer the Levites before the Lord for a wave offering on behalf of the children of Israel. Verse 13, and thou shalt set the Levites before Aaron and before his sons, and offer them for a wave offering unto the Lord. Thus shalt thou separate the Levites from among the children of Israel, and the Levite shall be mine. And after that shall the Levites go in to do the service of the tent of meeting, and thou shalt cleanse them, and so forth, and so on. Now notice, here they are. They are offered as a wave offering, and having been given to God, God says, I am giving the Levites back to Aaron and to his son to assist them. So, whatever sacrifices in the Old Testament were given to God, God did not always consume them. Sometimes he did. If it were the burnt offering, then, except for the skin, it was completely consumed on the altar by God. But if it came to the peace offering, something is given to God in a waving motion, and then God in turn says, I accept it, now I give it back to you, Aaron. And in like manner, the Levites were chosen as substitutes for the firstborn the children of Israel. Ever since Exodus 12, when God executed judgment upon the firstborn of man and of beast in Egypt, God decreed that all the firstborn were His. And of animals, a certain ritual had to take place, and of the nation of Israel, the firstborn belonged to God. And if this were so, and if God had not made special provisions, as we're reading about in the Pentateuch, then no matter what tribe you were, if you were the tribe of Reuben, or Simeon, or Judah, or Issachar, or Zebulun, it made no difference. If you happened to be the firstborn, you would be set apart and given to God, and your life would be dedicated to the service of God. But instead of that, God said, I'm not going to take from every tribe the firstborn. But whenever there is a firstborn in the tribe other than Levi, I'm going to take all of the children of Levi, and they shall be as the firstborn. So here is a replacement. Instead of the whole nation, as God wanted it first to be priests, God set aside a particular tribe. The tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron. And they were the priests. But the rest of the Levites had the service of God. And I can't go into this now because I'm just trying to get your mind associated with the Old Testament and the New Testament. But having done this, God having settled this matter about Aaron and the Levites, then whenever there were so many firstborn in the nation of Israel, God would count the Levites to replace every one of them. And if there were not enough Levites, then 5 shekels of silver had to be turned over to Aaron because firstborn were missing. There weren't enough. That's a study in itself. But just remember these things. All right. In the Old Testament, then, we have people offered to God as well as one person offered to God. In the reference from Genesis 22, that person, not in the law of Moses, but that person indeed is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, being offered to his Father. Now, Abraham, in God's mercy, was spared giving his Son as a sacrifice. But on Calvary, God spared not his own Son. But in the Old Testament, we have certain ones that were born into the service of God. Now think of that. It could be either a blessing or it could be a burden. Suppose you were born of the tribe of Levi and you had business inclinations and you were an architect, you had skill in literature, things of that nature, secular literature, and yet God says, no, you have to be a servant of mine. You have to assist Aaron and his son. Some people would say, that's a great burden. I am in a vocation that is not pleasing to me. But others, such as the sons of Korah, would say, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tent of wicked. So you think now, here you are. Our Savior has chosen you out of the world, and whether or not you like it, for you to live as Christ. You may have a secular occupation, but your whole life belongs to God. It says, you were bought with a price, you're not your own. Glorify God in your body. So, we belong to God. He allows us to have secular occupations or to have commended occupations, being in the work of the Lord, but still all of us belong to the Lord. And he is showing in the Old Testament that there is one that is given to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are many that are given to God, but for different reasons. The Lord Jesus Christ was given as a substitute. He is the one on the day of atonement. Aaron placed his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and all the sins of Israel were transferred to the head of the goat of the sin offering, and that is Christ bearing our sins. But there are others, like the Levites, who are given to God, and they are not sacrificed, and yet their lives are to be completely devoted to God. And there has to be a consecration. There are some who say, oh, I want to serve the Lord. Well, if this is so, have you gone through this ritual of cleansing and of setting apart to God? It wasn't when a Levite wanted to serve God that he just went into the work of God. He had to be 25 or 30 years of age, and he could only serve so long. He had specific duties. There were regulations concerning service among the Levites. But these Levites were given to God, and so notice, we have an animal that is weighed before God, and when the animal is a peace offering, and when any part of that animal is burnt upon the altar, that pictures the Lord Jesus Christ given to God, some aspect of his person or work. When an animal is given to God, and then that animal is burnt upon the altar of burnt offering, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. But not all the sacrifices that were offered to God were burnt. Let's see if any brother can tell me of any sacrifice that was given to God that wasn't burnt on the altar. Well, you'll find three of them. I may tell you about this because, remember now, we have pictured in an animal the giving of Christ, and in the people, ourselves given to God for service. And so at times, there are both literal and typical examples given in the Old Testament, letting us know that people and persons are to be given to God. But the Levites that were waved before God, they weren't burnt on any altar. And at the same time, you'll find that with the peace offering, and on the day of Pentecost, there were meal offerings containing leaven, and leaven was never burnt on the altar. I'll show you this. Turn to Leviticus chapter 2. And yet, though these offerings weren't burnt on the altar, God says, these offerings are to be offered to me. So look in Leviticus chapter 2 at verse 11. Now listen carefully. Leviticus 2:11. No meal offering which you shall offer unto the Lord shall be made with leaven. For ye shall burn no leaven nor any honey as an offering made by fire unto the Lord. As an oblation of first fruits, you shall offer them unto the Lord. But they shall not come up for a sweet savor on the altar. You understand? You may offer them, but they are not to be offered on the altar. Because I told you that invariably, when anything is offered on the altar, that is Christ. But here is something with leaven, and even though it can't be put on the altar and burned with fire as a sweet savor, yet it is offered unto God. All right. I'll show you the references now without going into too many details. So turn to chapter 7. It says that no leavened meal offering shall be burnt upon the altar. And so in chapter 7, verse 11, and this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offering, which one shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour soaked. With cakes of leavened bread shall he offer his oblation, with the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving. You see these two incongruous things? God says no leaven is to be offered upon the altar. And here we have all of these unleavened variety of pastries, and yet one of them has leaven. And it's an offering for God, but it doesn't go on the altar. And the solution is this. Whenever you have a meal offering with leaven, it is you and it is I. Whenever you have an unleavened meal offering, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the unleavened meal offering is offered upon the altar. But the leavened meal is not offered upon the altar. It's just lifted up to God. This we'll see in Leviticus 23. Turn there. Leviticus chapter 23. And this is why the interpretation of leaven is so consistent. One learned brother, and I thank God for him, said, why, again and again God says there are to be leavened offerings, and so leaven isn't always evil. Oh, yes, it is. The very fact that the leaven offering can't go on the altar tells you that something is wrong. And so in Leviticus chapter 23, look at verse 16, the latter part of the verse. It speaks about 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meal offering unto the Lord. You shall bring out of your habitation 2 wave loaves of 2/10 parts of an ephah. This is a fine flour. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven for first fruits unto the Lord. And you shall present with the bread 7 lambs without blemish. Verse 20, and the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. Now notice, no doubt who the lambs are. The Lord Jesus Christ. And so here are 2 leavened loaves which speak collectively of the Jews and Gentiles, sin in them, leaven in them, still containing a fallen nature. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so, but on the day of Pentecost, in connection with the Lamb, the spotless Lamb, Christ, these loaves with leaven are weighed before God and they're accepted by God. We are accepted in the Beloved. That the 2 wave loaves are the people of God, Jew and Gentile, made one by Christ, all the animals that are offered upon the altar. But the loaves themselves with the leaven, though they are offered to God, they are not offered in sacrifice, but they are offered as a gift, as turning over to God completely something that describes their sacrificial giving of themselves to God. Alright, in this instance, it is the priest who offers the 2 loaves. And so that's Christ presenting Jew and Gentile on the day of Pentecost to God. Alright, now you have the picture. Whenever you have unleavened meal offered on the altar, that's Christ. Whenever you have leavened meal, that is the child of God. The difference is this. In Leviticus chapter 7, it is an individual that is pictured. A little cake that has leaven in it. That's offered to God. But on the day of Pentecost, you have 2 wave loaves depicting 2 nations, Jew and Gentile. They're weighed before God. And so here we have the individual offered to God, and here we have Jew and Gentile offered to God. So individually and collectively as nations, we are offered to God. Not burned upon the brazen altar with fire. Only Christ can stand the fire, and only a sweet savor will ascend when Christ is upon that altar. But at least we are offered to God, and we're accepted in virtue of the lamb and the meal offering without leaven because of Christ. Now, having that in mind, let's look again at Romans 15. Romans chapter 15. I've shown you that people and individuals are offered to God. And I showed you in Philippians chapter 2 that Paul, an individual, offers himself a drink offering unto God. It's voluntary because there are some people, and let me ask you this. Suppose God said, I want to take your life and pour it out as a drink offering. Some of us would be like Jonah. When God wanted to pour out the life of Jonah, Jonah said, I'm not going to Nineveh, and he fled to Tarshish. And so God wants to do something with you, but you withhold your life. But the Apostle Paul said, if I am poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and rejoice with you all. But some of us, God would like to pour out, but we refuse to let God get a hold on us and pour us out. And so we hold back our lives. And the Savior said, he that saveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall save it. Now, here in Romans chapter 15, we have nations, loaves, not the individual, but people. And so the people of God as individuals and collectively can be offered to God. And in Romans chapter 15, let's see how the figure is. Verse 16, that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be made acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. And so here are these Levites, and they are taken from among the children of Israel, but they are not acceptable in God's sight. They have to go through a ritual to be cleansed and prepared and consecrated, and after all of that is done, then they are clean, and they are sanctified, and they are acceptable to God, and they are offered to God. Now, Paul is doing this not in a physical way, but in a spiritual way. For the nation of Israel, a Levite was chosen because of his physical birth. But in Romans 15, these individuals are chosen because of their spiritual birth. Notice, look at verse 16. It says that I should be a minister of Christ Jesus unto the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. And so Paul ministered the gospel and preached the gospel, and people believed the gospel and they were saved. And here are all of these people that have been saved by God's grace by the ministering of the gospel. And then he says, I want to offer up the Gentiles acceptable and sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Now, think of this. The Levites in the Old Testament being made acceptable and being offered unto God. But having been offered unto God, God gives them back and they serve God from 25 to 50. And before that they were learning, and after 50 they also were engaged in duties. But from 25 to 50 it says the service of the Levites was this, to war the warfare. Think of that. Some say, you have a secular position, I have a spiritual position. Well, the one with a spiritual position in the Old Testament is spoken of as a soldier. He warred the warfare from 25 to 50. Before then, he was learning how, and after 50, he was assisting in the service of the tent of meeting. So, he had returned from the warfare, but he was still engaged in the work. And now, instead of a physical coming into this occupation, it is a spiritual coming into the occupation. The gospel is preached, and you and I respond, and now, God has all of us. And the Apostle Paul says, Lord, I want to offer these to you. The gospel has been preached, these have responded, and now here is an offering to you, Lord, and let it be made acceptable in the Holy Spirit. And so, thinking of that, think how sacred it is to be a child of God. Here is God. How do you worship God? You worship God with something that He will accept. And there are certain things that God said, I will not accept. He will not accept a sinner, but once a sinner is saved and is clean, God will accept that sinner, and then God tells that sinner, I want you to serve me. We then are ambassadors for Christ. So here we are. We are offered to God because the gospel has won us, and we as collectively, as the people of God, are offered by Paul to God. And now the Holy Spirit cleanses us. So these are some of the thoughts. I will go into no more details, but think now, an animal and people in the Old Testament, and also no animals anymore in the New Testament, but only people, but they remind us of those people, the Levites, that were offered to God in the Old Testament. That's all for now. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we marvel that you, the God of heaven, the Holy God, would accept us, and that we know our uncleanness, but you can sanctify us by thy Spirit and make us acceptable in your sight. We are thankful for this, our God. We are thankful for the conscientiousness of the Apostle Paul, that he did offer himself, but he wanted to have more than himself to offer. He wanted to minister the gospel, and the fruits of that ministry he wanted to offer unto you. And so we are thankful, our God, that as individuals, and we pray that as an assembly here, when we think of the collective concept, that we shall be offered unto you, acceptable in your sight, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So let us not just take being children of God a commonplace thing, but let us understand that it's a sacred thing, and that we are to be engaged in worship and giving ourselves to Thee, and then having been given to Thee, in turn being given back, that we may go and serve our fellow man and the children of God. Help these thoughts to be precious to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.